three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
There it is. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Core is my name from Stats Before Media. On the other side of this call is Andrew Canyon, the fan man in the stands.
Here I am. Do you know, Joe, you can now, people can find out more about me at canyon.omg.lol.
Oh, you've always got the best websites. There's Canyon, at Canyon was your old Twitter account. What a great name. You got it all sorted out. And of course, you can go to the website, nblpocketpodcast.com.au or just .com.
Just.com, man. It's a seriously good-looking website, if I do say so myself.
It's just a beautiful one-pager, slick, clean, need. Honest. The last time we recorded, Andrew got all kinds of negativity over the sound quality of his microphone.
I deserved it. Listen,
yeah. And I don't think I've seen such criticism of sort of an audio or musical type thing. And this has gone back because we initially wanted to record this podcast with Dan Ewing. Scheduling conflict didn't happen. Andrew and everyone listening, do you remember a time, and I think I want to say in about 07, Home and Away changed its theme tune? Or they didn't change the theme tune, but they got a new singer. Do you remember this at all?
Oh, very vaguely. I go way back with Home and Away. Like I remember when, you know, it first launched. Way I'm back talking, when. That's how old I am.
I'm talking about the Israel Cannon Wazza. He was an actor named Israel Cannon. He played Wazza on the show. This is sort of circa 2007.
Right.
And he sung the theme tune and it's dreadful. Well, I'll be impartial. I'll play it now so people can hear.
All right.
You know we belong together. You and I forever and ever. No matter where you are. Guiding star, hold me in your arms. Don't let me go. I want to stay forever, closer each day. Home and away.
What's funny is, the guest we had wanted, Dan Ewing, was actually on the show at that time. He played a character. I've got Wikipedia here. He played Reuben Humphreys that season. So he would have been right in the epicenter of the bombshell that was this theme tune change. And then what's funny is he played that character, Reuben Humphreys, in 2007. And then Home and Away went, we got to have him. And they brought him back in 2011 and made him play a different character.
See, Home that's, and Away. That's classic soap opera stuff, right? When you can just return as a totally different person.
Just play by their own rules. But anyway, this is not Home and Away. This is the NBL Pocket Podcast. We're going to be – a lot of people contacted us saying, give us another episode. So here we are. We haven't got a great deal to talk about, but preseason, a few books have come out. We're going to be really parroting from the NBL's too soon predictions that they put out. We quite like the structure of that, so we thought we'd parrot that. Yep. Before we jump into any of that, though, this Liz Cambage report has just come out. Pretty sly from Basketball Australia to put out the press release at 4 o'clock on a Friday.
Is this the findings? They took out the trash, did they? As the politicians like to say, you take out the garbage on the Friday afternoon. I didn't realize it had come out.
There you go. And I think that may have been Basketball Australia's ambition.
Genius.
Essentially, it was very vague. It was almost... It should have just been done a tweet. I think it had less characters than your average tweet as well. It was just found guilty of one charge, which wasn't named or listed or detailed in any real detail. And then other three charges were kind of dropped. And charges is probably a bit of a strong word, but certainly infractions or whatever you want to call it. People are not happy about it.
I'm reading it now. I'm reading it now. Sorry, and I'm a bit behind because I've been out at junior cricket this afternoon, so not able to. Checking it on the news, reading it now, really lightweight statement.
Yeah, very. It's like, doesn't really detail what happened, doesn't detail why they came to the outcome they've come to. Yeah, pretty.
No.
5 o'clock. I got to hand it to Matt Scriven, new head of the VA. Like, tip of the cap. We've all done that where you drop some work on someone's desk at 4:59 and then sprint out the door.
got to say, I'm thinking we might need an ICAC for Basketball Australia to get to the bottom of what's going on here.
Jeez. Well,
giving us nothing.
The issue in question with Cambridge and the Nigerian team, actually putting that aside, totally unrelated topic, but do you remember a basketball player named Wayne Simeon? I think he played for either Connecticut or Kansas.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go in a different direction and say Wayne Simmons, who's a bit of a Perth legend.
But when you think, yeah, unrelated, but Simeon, Wayne Simeon, okay. With the whole Cambridge. I don't know why I made that departure. But yeah, that's about it. I will say this. If Andrew Bogut is reached for comment on this in the papers in the next couple of days, I'm going to vomit. I'm going to actively, it'll probably be natural, but if it doesn't happen, I'm going to take two fingers and stick them down my throat because he's not her teammate. He never has been. He wasn't there. He wasn't at the incident. He wasn't there. But I guarantee he'll be reached for comment.
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know why you went to Wayne Simeon, but now I seriously can't get Wayne Simmons out of my head. And I just want to give a shout out to Wayne and his solo Groovin' album from the 90s. Check it out on YouTube.
Oh, wow. That I will indeed. Top of the pro. So selling something now. So people out there, we're selling to you. NFTs. People may have seen on my Twitter account, I got this great NFT made up of me spinning the ball on my finger. It's one of those little collectibles. The guy who makes them, Blake is his name, he is open to making more for others. So you could use it as your Twitter bio or Facebook or even just have it. If you're interested, drop the show a link on Twitter or even preferably in email, mblpocketpodcast@gmail.com. And you can have one. There'll be a fee involved, but they're kind of neat. Could be fun.
Yeah, how'd you get one? I didn't. What's going on here?
Well, there may be a quick salve to that issue. Andrew, I think yours might be in the pipeline.
All right. Well, judging by the, if you go to mblpocketpodcast.com, you can look at our two heads and you basically just use the same NFT anyway.
Yeah, just take the glasses off one, right? I've shared the specs.
We're shockingly similar in our looks.
It's eerie.
Brother from another mother.
Jumping on to selling something else. Body's book, Body Notch, friend of the program. He's got this book come out. I believe it's called A Type of Life. I think the split, as I understand it, is about 75% body journalism and then 25% MBL and basketball. Maybe the basketball content is a bit bigger. I'm not too sure, but thereabouts. It's out. Buy it through Booktopia. Use the link. We get 10% or some small nominal fee. But buy the book. I think it'll be really good. I haven't got a copy yet, but I'm excited to.
I intend to get a book. I will purchase it. I think I owe him at least that. I've read so much of his stuff for free. I should at least buy his book.
Yeah, good point. And I think if you can get that one up, because then if this one goes well, maybe there'll be a body will turn his hand to say a sort of retrospective of the league. That could be fun too.
That'd be interesting.
You need good metrics. So if you're even vaguely interested, buy the book. Do indeed. Moving on. Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Preseason. Where do you want to go?
I want to do the awards. I just want to go do the awards so early that before we've even talked preseason, we're like already predicting who's going to win the entire thing. I think that's kind of stupid, and I like it.
So we're really leaning on, and I encourage people to go to it at mbl.com.au. A panel of experts put out a whole bunch of, way too soon award nominations. Quite a good little concept, got a little bit of a stir. It is way too soon for these things, but also there's an element to it that was a bit of fun. I encourage people to do that. So we'll do our own. One thing I want to say though, eight experts, six were Melbourne-based, two from Sydney. It doesn't bother me greatly. But one thing that does bother me, and obviously the lack of a WA presence, I would have thought you'd be tapping Lockie Reed or Josh Gallup on the shoulder for their input.
Yeah.
Damian Martin is another. Adelaide, like, do not have someone from every city, especially when there's no cap. You can still have six people from Melbourne, but you could have just sent an email out to those people to say, hey, can we get yours? Just to give it that national flavor. I thought that was a miss there.
Yeah, good point.
Also, the other missed opportunity was you've just got a team in Tasmania. We all kind of know who the voice of basketball in each city is. You've got your Melbourne ones, Perth, you kind of know, yep. Body in Adelaide, so on. So who's the voice in Tasmania? this was the perfect chance to kind of go, oh, here's the new voice of basketball in Tasmania. Because I got no idea who it is.
It's a very good question. Are they going to have one? Like, well, I mean, is it still just going to be the voices from the hub?
I presume so. I mean, if this was a chance, it was a missed one. But Hugh Benyon, New Zealand, probably could have got a tap on the shoulder. The Reptile, John Guana up in Queensland. Anyway, it's a bunch of guys. Reptile, remember Mortal Kombat? Spit in your face. All right, enough of that. Where do you want to start? Which award?
Let's start with the top. Best award, the one you really want to win, the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go right out and say Bryce Cotton.
Who would be the contenders? I've got the only two other possible contenders, Tyler Harvey and Peyton Siver.
Yeah. Tyler Harvey, fair enough. We know what we're dealing with him. Peyton Siver, I mean, who knows? He comes with huge raps, but you know, Scottie Hobson had huge raps on him last season and didn't do very much. So you never quite know what's going to pan out. It's the whole point of the way too early's, right? At least Bryce Cotton has form. So
I don't doubt that. I don't even think those other two are really. There's sort of Cotton one, and then two is blank, and then those two I think are the most likely challenges. But I'll say this: do you have any big player, power forward, center in the top 10 for this answer? Finn Delaney, no, is that it?
It's a real struggle unless like one of these next stars or something goes bonkers. It's really hard to find. Or maybe Jarrell Martin, but
Jarrell Martin, good call. No,
you know, that's probably the closest we're going to get.
I think Jarrell Martin and Finn Delaney are the only two like legit bigs from last year. Think about that. Like Landau's gone. Obviously, Nick Kay left a while ago.
Yeah,
Daniel Johnson's still around. So
he's
Johnson
aging out a bit.
He's now 34.
Yeah,
I think.
And Mitch Creek, is he a big guy? If you're saying Finn Delaney, maybe you do say Mitch Creek.
I guess. But, yeah, he sits in that category of if he's the – yeah, I agree with you. With Finn Delaney just plays a bit bigger than Mitch Creek, I think.
Yep.
But, all right. Next award do you want to go to?
Oh, did you give your MVP?
Just unequivocally, yeah.
Coach of the Year, I'm going to go with Adam Ford.
Ooh, what a great answer. Why? Yeah,
I just think he's got the opportunity sort of starting afresh, clean slate. That always works well. You only have to overperform a little bit to be really in the mix in a situation like that. So I just think he's in a good situation. I think it'll suit him. I think he'll feel comfortable and happy in his environment. So I'm going to say Adam.
I'm going to go with... I think the NBL Coach of the Year Award loves a redemption story. It loved Mike Kelly that year he won it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, slight departure, Mike Kelly. Over in Perth, the head coach over in the Wildcats has just arrived. They play their first preseason games in a week. Are you getting any alarm bells? I mean, it looks like Mike Kelly's running the show. This is a guy who's like roller coaster, worst record in the league. Coach of the Year, worst record in the league. I'm concerned for Perth fans on their behalf.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Perth this year. It's a very, very strange situation. They do seem to be redeeming themselves with like throwing lots of money at players and getting good signings. So they'll be fine. But yeah, the coaching thing is a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
I saw they flew the coach over, Scott Morrison, though. He did fly over in what appeared to be first class.
So, is that so?
Okay, yeah, he had a photo of his like little two-year-old kid, and I was like, well, that's a full leather seat.
I did see that. Leather seats and all that. Yeah, good for them. Okay.
There you go, Perth Wildcats fans. That's where you're that's why you pay so much for a season ticket.
Coach of the Year, I had Brian Gorge, and I for the reason of I think they're going to be quite good, but also it's kind of like that film Idle Hands, like the hand gets cut off and it just has a mind of its own. I don't think people that vote for that award can put pen to paper without scribbling Brian Gorgian. I don't think they have the power to look past him. The other one is maybe Dan Shamir, because I'm predicting big things from the Breakers. So when I was saying about redemption story, I think they're going to love that bottom dweller to quite good, but that's the condition, obviously.
I would like to have a normal season for the Breakers so we can actually get a vibe on how good Dan Shamir really is. There's been so many asterisk seasons since he's been coaching there. Be good to have a clean run.
What award do you want to go to next?
Can we do the all first team?
Do it.
All-star five, if you like. Okay, I'm going to run them past you. Bryce Cotton, Tyler Harvey, Peyton Seaver,
same.
Mitch Creek,
ooh,
Isaac Humphries.
Okay, we differ on the bigs. I won't tell you who I've got.
Bigs were hard, man. They were really hard to pick.
Why did you go with Humphries? Why did you go with Creek?
I went with Humphries mainly because I just wanted to have representation of a genuine big. And pickings were pretty slim. But he showed a lot last season. And I think the coaching situation isn't going to get worse. So I think he'll be in a better mind. Yeah, better place. More enjoying himself a bit more under CJ. And he can play both ends of the floor. So he has the potential to be the most dominant big man in the league.
Right. I get that. I didn't have those two, either of those two, actually. I had Finn Delaney. I think once he was shed the shackles of the Websters, he looked really good towards the end of last year and is at a good, nice age now where he's set to break out. It's kind of like when a horse just had the Melbourne Cup. When a horse puts the blinkers on for the first time, they lose distraction. I feel like he's got the blinkers on this season. The other one I've got, and this might surprise you, I got Lamar Patterson.
Oh,
I think you
saw that hype reel.
I did. I bought that. I bit on that Arab grain bag. Went straight in with my snout. I think his ego's been bruised, and there's no animal more dangerous than the one that's been bruised, hurt, cut, injured. And he stayed here. He hasn't had a turbulent COVID in and out of hotels. He's had some structure. If he's in shape, and we're going to talk about what we're looking for in the preseason, people can probably tell what I'll be looking most at. But yeah, Patterson, I'm kind of pushing my chips in at this way too early stage that he's going to be better. But it's a risk because Creek's a sure bet. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And he'll be ready.
It'll be that's a pretty interesting. It's an interesting one to watch. I look forward to seeing that because I totally buy your arguments there.
I think we're doing the same order. Most impactful next star, is that what you've got written down?
Yep.
And I want to say, I like the way they worded that, most impactful. And I actually went to the definition of impact to see exactly what you meant. Who'd you go with?
Well, look, a little disclaimer up front. I may have written this list. I wrote this list a little while ago. I think it was before Joe Chi. I can't get my pronunciation right. Is that right? Joe Chi?
He's not next star.
Isn't he not?
He's an Asian restricted player.
Sorry, forgot about that. So, no, okay. Well, then it doesn't matter. I went with Nikita Mikhailovsky.
And what made you go with him? Because I've got the same answer.
I love the name.
Honestly,
go on.
I went with, this is my rationale. I'm sorry to people. I'll see him in the, we will watch him in the blitz and go back to it. But, I went with him because of that list of experts and no sort of discredit to the others, but the one I lean on is Liam Santamaria. He's got the best.
Yep.
And he had that answer. And that might sound like really bad, chicken-like rationale, but it's the best I got.
Hey, look, at least he'll have seen some of these guys play, right?
Yeah, precisely.
What are we working off? Very little.
Little until the blitz.
Yep.
Next award, sorry.
Rookie?
Mm-hmm.
This seems weird to give this rookie Luke Travers.
Yeah, that is peculiar, isn't it? Like,
can he be rookie? He shouldn't be, but he kind of is apparently. So for what it's worth, give it to him.
I think that's a really good answer because simply he's by far the best player in the rookie crop. However, I'm going to give a conspiracy type answer. I think it's going to be Mojave King. And here's why.
Does he qualifies for rookie still?
I believe so.
In his second season?
I think he's still a next star, isn't he? But he was the answer that a lot of people gave.
Oh, okay. Well, then who am I to?
They could have. If I'm wrong about this, I'm wrong. But
the NBL's only got itself to blame for this level of confusion.
The structure of this award is bonkers. If he is eligible, I'm saying Mojave. If he's not eligible, it's Luke Travers. If he is eligible, I'm saying Mojave King. Here's why. Year older. The 36ers have a track record of spoon feeding next star's minutes to get their stats up for the NBA draft. We've seen it before. We're gonna see it again. Grant Kelly, the owner of the 36ers, he's like the Muhammad Al-Fayed of NBL basketball Mohamed Al Fayed, for people who don't know, used to own Fulham EPL, English Premier League soccer team, and was notorious for bringing in players, slightly raising their stock and then selling them. And as a result, Fulham just sat above the relegation zone, but never in the hunt for the premiership. So I think there's going to be that going on. I think that's a condition of him going there. It certainly seemed to be a condition of why he left Cairns. Yep. The opportunity wasn't there. So that's my answer.
Fair enough.
What you go next?
Next, we've got most improved. Improved. Most improved.
Who'd you go with?
Luke Travers. He's going to be rookie. So sight unseen rookie, but he's still going to be the most improved.
You know who I'm going to go
ridiculous.
With?
It's ridiculous.
And I actually had Travers slash, so I'll go with my other slash. This might be sort of fall in the David Barlow category. Remember when he was up for most improved a couple of years ago when he came back from injury?
Yep.
But I'm going to say Ryan Brokhoff because David Barlow was injured 1 year and then came back, right?
Yep.
Brokhoff wasn't injured last year. Oh, well, had lingering injuries, but played enough.
Not physically
to sort of say,
injured. No.
Not physically injured. He had a season and it wasn't good. What did he have? He played 19 games. He only signed mid-season.
Yeah.
Just under 20 minutes, 7 points, 4 rebounds. If he's as good a player as I had thought and as people had thought and as he has shown in the past, he's a 20-point scorer. So his points per game are going to double. His rebounds should go up because we get more court time. So I'm going to say Ryan Brokhoff.
Yeah. The only thing that would hold him back, I think, is the structure that Phoenix play with. Last season, even when they didn't seem to get him many good looks.
At all.
So they might have to mix it up a little bit, change the way they play to try and free him up.
It depends on their input point. Does he look to share the ball? We'll see in the blitz. Yeah.
Does Cam Glidden turn up? Sorry, I can't get started on Cam Glidden already. Jeez.
He's had this back surgery. I think he was hurt all year. I think he's been hurt the last 3 years. But, you know, it's like, well, the on-court product wasn't there. I don't know what to... You know, there's 1,000 reasons why things don't happen, but it didn't happen.
Yep.
So I'm hoping Brokhoff does cannibalize those minutes and certainly Tarangi's as well.
Yeah.
Sorry to those two. Next category, I believe, was Final Four.
Yep, that's what I've got.
Did you do this in order of 1 to 4?
I probably did, actually. Yeah, looking at, yes, I've got it in 1 to 4.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Do you want me to go 4 to 1 or 1 to 4?
Go 4 to 1.
Okay. In fourth place, we have the New Zealand Breakers.
Okay.
In third, we have South East Melbourne Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
In second, the Illawarra Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving first place to the Perth Wildcats.
I had the same four, but I switch out South East Melbourne and New Zealand. I had New Zealand third.
That's good that we got the same four. Look at us go. Wow.
Hmm. Do you think there's any debate with Illawarra? That's the team where I'm kind of like... Got Harvey. Have teams kind of worked them out that they're just going to play really stingy D and they can't score over 75 points per game? Are they going to be a different team? What do you think?
I think they've got the potential to be better. So they've got Jill Preet. Sorry, Jesus.
Yeah, the Olympics.
It's been a long time without basketball. I apologize to everybody. Yeah, they got him. They've also got. Justinian Jessup back.
Good point.
Yeah. They've got Froling with another year of experience, and they've got Froling the other.
H&F.
So
H&F Froling stuff. Yeah. I'm not. I think, well, Harry was not particularly impressive last year.
And
but
the take on Froling, Harry, has always been if he could just get fit, he would be a good player, right?
Yeah, great.
If you're playing for Gorgian, you're going to get fit.
Or you're going to get chewed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the two. It will be either a good season or a disaster. Or it will end his career if it's a bad year.
Absolutely.
Look at Deng Adel. Yeah. Gone. Yeah, I think, that's interesting. I think they do up Reith. Like, is he going to be another Deng Adel? Where it just,
you see him at the Olympics?
I did like
him. He was solid.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's going to be good. That's why I have him in second. Tell me why you have New Zealand. Let's talk about the teams that didn't make it. So, as I look at the nbl.com.au stuff, Hooley and Homicide both had Perth out of the finals. Do you give any credence to that?
Have they been watching the NBL for the last 30 years? Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous.
You're just being, I don't know. Homicide's probably just doing it to get clicks. Yeah.
Bless
him. Hooli, I don't know. Hooli, I don't know what Hooli's deal is.
I can't. You know. That's an odd one.
I'm sure he had a good reason.
I've never met Peter. I don't know.
I'm not giving him a hard time. He seems like a lovely guy. But
look at their team on paper. Like,
I don't see who's going to get over them. Like, how do you leave them out?
That's what I want to ask you then. So, I've got written here: only one person did not have Melbourne making the top four, and that was Joe Healy. All the others had Melbourne United.
Not that good.
I don't like their roster. We've spoken about that. They look older. They lost Landau. They've sort of slapped together their team on the cheap. Dellavedova's taken 700K of the cap.
Yeah.
And in a position that you didn't need to upgrade. Like, you had Mitch McCarron. That wasn't your deficiency.
Yeah.
You had to replace Landau with quality anyway.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question. So if you had to pump up one of these teams, because we didn't have any one of these five teams making the four, if you had to pump up and make the case for one of them jumping into the four,
okay,
who would you select? Cairns, Tasmania, Brisbane Bullets, and who's the other team? Left?
Ironically, I probably would pump up Melbourne, and I'd say you've got Golden coming off a Olympic campaign, mm-hmm. you know, got the NBA trial and all that kind of stuff, and probably not having to share the ball so much with a guy like Scotty Hobson.
Yep.
So I think that might help him. You've got Delhi, solid point guard control. You've got and then backed up by Shaley, no problems there. You've got JLA, who's ready to step up and really make a name for himself. You've got a bit of an unknown in Huck Porty, but, you know, you have to assume, and a guard as well. You've got to kind of assume these guys be okay. So, and then you also say perhaps that Jack White comes back with a vengeance. Because he was good.
That's a strong point. The roster's got more than I – hearing it back then, it's got a lot more than I thought. But I just think, gee, they're thin in depth. They don't have any athleticism or very little athleticism. Like, you know, Golding is older but never gets injured because he just doesn't play that style. But Dellavedova's had a horrible injury history. Brad Newley is like 36, 35.
Yeah, Brad, he's got to be like the – like he and – Barlow have both got to be kind of the waving the towel guys at the end of the bench, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's got to be David Anderson.
You just need a couple of injury breaks to go poorly, and this team gets real thin real quick. So I wouldn't make the case for them. Honestly, I'm making the case for Cairns. Here's why. Scott Machado's an MVP candidate, or should be. If you can't play hard, they had a problem with playing hard for Mike Kelly. That was my observation last year.
Right.
If you can't play hard for Adam Ford, cussing every second word, and a young coach, you know, tattoos up the arm,
yep.
He'll be wearing the collared shirt. Now that he's out of – oh, here's a question, actually. Is he going to be wearing the collared shirt, or is he going to be wearing that hot, sweaty suit? No way.
He is not wearing a suit.
No way. He's making the jump to the collared shirt. So I think that would be the case I'd make for them, and I think it's a strong one. Brisbane, if Lamar Patterson is in shape, he's an MVP candidate. And MVP teams with an MVP candidate finish in the upper echelon. Yeah. But I think Brisbane just want fifth spot. That's where they love.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah.
Just love fifth
spot. Just teasing their fans. Just like, oh, we could make it to the playoffs, but we're not.
Next year. But I just can't look over the fact that they've gone from Magne and Hodgson to Harrelson and .. But then the Jack Jumpers, like their imports are an unknown, and they seem to have built a decent little roster, but I'm not convinced of them. My case would be for Cairns Taipans. Not Scott Machado.
Yeah, it's totally fair point. But
now, I think the last question was champions.
Champions, yep.
Who you got?
I didn't expect my answer to be this, but I had to go Perth.
Why?
Just I didn't think they were going to have much, and then they just rolled out signing after signing after signing. And I think it just pushes them over the top. The big question mark is how it's going to gel under a new coach. So it would be something else for a new coach to come into the league and win.
That's my concern.
So
I still had Perth.
Murray Arnold says hi. So, you know.
Yeah. Good point. I think I have Perth as well, primarily because I don't actually like any of the other options. But gee, here are my negatives on Perth. Coaching, we already spoke about that.
Yep.
Second would be they are hoping for 40 NBL minutes out of Matt Hodgson and Majuk Majuk. 40 minutes out of those two. Hodgson has shown over a pretty lengthy career in the NBL that he cannot play more than 20 minutes without fouling out.
Yes,
correct. So once he's gone, it's Majuk who can give you 10.
Yeah.
Once they lose those two, or if Scott Morrison wants to go with something different, they are tiny.
Yes.
It's Vic Law as the big. There is no other option.
Correct.
Their lineup is like Vic Law. Those three guards who are all tiny. I mean, Bryce Cotton's probably 5'10".
Yep.
Frazier's small, he's, you know, 6'1 or 2. Mitch Norton.
Mitch Norton, 6 foot.
And then who is also on the court? Is it Travers, a 20-year-old guy?
Yeah.
Dearie me.
I know.
It's thin.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. But I think they'll be able to find ways to cover that 10 minutes.
Well, you just got to hope if Vic Law gets hurt, they're in big trouble. Huge trouble. Correct. And, you know, he got hurt last year.
Can I throw one other little element into the mix that also pushed me towards Perth is, what if Bryce Cotton becomes an Australian?
Yeah, really keen point. I mean, that was at a roaring boil before the Olympics and has now just totally died down.
Yeah. But I assume the paperwork's still lodged.
I just don't understand what the holdup is. Whoever filled out those forms did a dreadful job. Whoever's doing legal for the Perth Wildcats, shame on you. Yeah. Shame on you.
But imagine that. Imagine Bryce becomes an Australian and they think, oh, let's just roll in another import for the last 8 games.
Mid-season. And they've done that before. Now, keen point. I want to ask you this question, Andrew Kane. Did the Sydney Kings, let Casper Ware walk, or was he out of their price range? What do you think?
I would have thought it was almost by mutual agreement that he didn't come back. That was kind of my read. I don't think he wanted back. I don't think they wanted him back. I don't think price would have come into it because I think he would have gotten cheaper on the market after his season last year.
I'll ask you this. I'll give you two sets of stats, okay? And you tell me which pair of stats you prefer. 19.8 points per game, 4.5 assists per game, 46% from the field. That's one set of stats. Other set of stats, 17.7 points per game, 4.4 assists per game, 40% from the field. Which set of stats do you prefer?
I want that first guy.
Okay. That first guy is Jerome Randall in Adelaide, the year they capitulated on Joey Wright. The second was Casper Ware's numbers last year, where they were terribly struck by injury, but still he managed to win them, nearly 50-50?
Yeah.
Man, he wins games. I think they got priced out. I think this is what happened. And this is total, just like throw it out there, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But he went to Russia where they paid pretty good money. It's all a bit dirty, but big money.
Yep.
He's a winning player. They know that. I feel like they got priced out because what they've brought in is two NBA guys who they're like, hey, take the hit on money, but look at our track record of getting people to the NBA, which is where that younger player wants to go.
Yeah.
Whereas your winning player in Casper Ware at 31 is like, I have 4 years left. I want every little bit of money I can get. And if that's here in Sydney, fantastic. But if it's in the middle of the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, so be it. I'm going there. So I think that's what played out. I don't think they wanted to let Casper Ware go.
Yeah, interesting take.
That's my take on it.
I love a hot take.
But one thing I want to say as well, looking at this year, teams that have brought in new imports, it's kind of and I just look at the climate around it. Sports is a microcosm of the world around it. You saw that letter from Paul Smith where he's like, we took a horrible year financially last year.
Yep.
Teams that are bringing in all new imports, it suggests to me that it's not because they want to try something fresh. It's because they couldn't actually re-up. I think Sydney went, we want Jarrell Martin over Casper and let him walk. These two coming in. I think any team that's, you know, really on the open market for imports this year doesn't bring as much money to the table because it was such a debacle last year money-wise.
Mm.
So teams, I look at this team, this season, I'm really looking at which teams retained talent rather than went out and spent, because that's why all these teams are going small, because, or what I think anyway, they're going small because they can't afford that bigger guy. That guy's going to Europe,
yep,
or Japan. They've injected a whole lot of money. So that's why they're all going these three guard fronts, while the Wildcats have done what they've done. So I'm wary of teams that have spent. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. A lot of new players this year. A lot of new players, a lot of change.
Here's a question I had. Only Peter Hooley had the 36ers in the final four. Do you see that what do you think of that?
Go home, Peter. You're drunk. What are you doing, man?
You don't see them in Perth out, anywhere close. You don't see them anywhere close.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't think you've got enough starch.
Are you tipping them for the wooden spoon?
Nah, I think Jack Jumpers would probably get the wooden spoon just because they're new.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be totally surprised to get Adelaide, but they have got some decent players, and they're not the basket case they were last year. So I've got to say, Jack Jumpers the last.
Really?
It's kind of unfair. There shouldn't be, looking at the rosters, right, just rosters, there shouldn't really be a worse team this year. They're all kind of reasonable. There's no
out
and out terrible team.
It's pretty even, isn't it? I think, no, not at all. Here's the thing with Adelaide. They got a really good point guard. Mitch McCarron's a really good player, and he's bruised because Melbourne went, talk about lights come up at the disco. You've been talking to the girl all night, and then it's like, oh, Delhi's available.
Yeah.
You'd be gutted by that. Yeah. I know he gave interviews to the contrary, but that is BS. Yeah. No offense to people listening in Adelaide. Love your town. But if you're in Melbourne and have been there for years and are laying down roots and you're in Melbourne and you swing in and you're at the charming side streets and all that sort of stuff, and then you go to Adelaide, you'd be perturbed by that.
Mm.
And I think he's no exception.
There we go.
So that's they are the too soon projections. I think we've covered everything. I want to quickly talk about what have I got my thing here?
Blitz.
The Blitz, yeah. What team? You don't have to pick a specific game if you don't want to, but what are you most looking forward to or looking to learn from the Blitz, Andrew?
Well, with all these things, you don't really learn how good a team is going to be or what systems they're going to run or anything like that, because it's all smoke and mirrors at this point.
So, Jim,
I'm just looking forward to seeing kind of like how good these new players are and how ready for NBL do they appear. Because you've got the sort of the mix of all this quarantining and COVID and training breaks and long breaks between seasons. And I wonder how they're going to shake out. Mm. And then, which import combo is sort of fitting in and looking like they might gel with their team.
I'm thinking
body language.
To me, I'm looking at the Chinese guys. I want to see how they move on the floor.
Yep.
Whether they've got any speed in their legs. But the main thing is Patterson. It's all Lamar Patterson. I'm just watching the Brisbane games, really. I think they first play the Jack Jumpers. That's the game. If you're a fair weather NBL fan, you're listening.
Yeah.
I'd listen to that one. And Sunday, just look at Lamar Patterson. Have a sort of visual guess at his measurements and weight. And if he's looking good, then they're going to be a better team. Maybe not top four, but they're going to be good. He's going to be fun to watch. If he doesn't look good, their season is over. And I think their wooden spoon is if he's in similar shape to last year, they're a disaster. Yeah, absolute disaster. Yep. If he's in shape, they've still got Sobey and him. There's two MVP candidates. They've got, and that bigger guy, the big Chinese guy might be good. Joe Chi.
I'm probably,
Ben Luen.
If I was having to watch one team, I'd probably be New Zealand.
Okay,
So many guys that come with big raps on that team, but you've also got the two big outs of the Websters. And how does that influence the way the carryover guys play?
I think they're going to be good. I've said that. I think the backcourt of those two sort of Parsi point guards and McDowell White and Siver, guys who attack the hoop, I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be good.
Yep. Plus, they got the best uniforms. Man, I can't get enough of that pink.
They are nice. Yeah, they are good. Good for them. So that's
should that's be good. So they've got, you can watch all these on KO freebies. Freebies, that's what they call them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so totally free.
Get amongst it and check it out. Are you going to go hardcore and you're going to watch them all? You're just going to sit yourself on the couch with a big bag of popcorn and
I don't think so. I just preseason basketball, I think the less you watch, sometimes the better. I might take in 2, 3, 4 games at the most. I just think if you watch too much, you're buying into the wrong types of players. But yeah, as I said, I'll be watching Patterson's shape, whether the Chinese guys can move on the floor with grace.
Yeah.
And then that new Tasmania team, check out the uniform. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yep.
That's about it.
Jenny, the other thing I want to know, what camera angle are they going to run out at the Tasmania Stadium? Because back in the day, the Tasmanian Stadium used to have quite one of those high-angled sort of...
Yeah, like in Illawarra.
Illawarra, yeah. You're looking down into the hoop. Hate that camera angle. So if they've rebuilt this stadium and still have a garbage angle, that's going to be disappointing.
Disappointing. The other thing, what else have I got on up here? Oh, the Sydney Kings. Sydney Kings put out a job thing for a social media manager. I'm paraphrasing that position, but something like it.
Yep.
And I had to laugh when it said in the thing, we're looking for someone, and I'm paraphrasing again, but it was, we want to be the league's best in engagement, or best in a league best at attention, or something like that. I had to laugh at that because not because the way they worded that, that's fine. You know, that ambition is perfectly valid. But then I thought, oh, when does the applications close? And it was 6 days later from when I was. I thought, you're going to get a league best in 6 days?
Wow.
Okay.
Sydney market must be just full of brilliant people
running, or they've already got someone in mind. Which, if you're looking for the league best social media, just poach the person from New Zealand.
Oh, you mate, it's exactly
like the best.
I could see the I can see the tweet that the New Zealand Breakers have put out now. It'd be Omar Little saying, "If you come at the king, best not miss."
You know? There you go. It's exactly what they do. So I say they've already got someone in mind. They've already hired the position, and it's just running just through the motions. They've already got a nephew, or a cousin who's going to take the role. Fair play to them.
I didn't get the job. I got to tell you right now.
No,
didn't reach out to me.
Must have got lost in the mail. Listen, Andrew. Last thing, because we're going to do a quick one. Josh Giddey, he's in the NBA.
Yeah,
boy, you can't escape it, right? What do you think?
You're more the NBA guy than I, right? But I will say, even I, not being a huge NBA guy, I've noticed like he's doing so well and so much better than I thought he would. It's fantastic. Like, well done him. But you're the analyst in the NBA circle. Yeah. So apparently, tell me, how is he really doing?
I've only watched 2 of his full games. It's interesting. Like with everything, they tell you about the Venn diagram of covering this stuff. Like, you want a bit of player, bit of the team, bit of the league. You know, you want to kind of hit on all things, like not just about Giddey and his performance. You want to know how the team is doing in the league. So as far as Giddey, he's had some flashes. His stats are up and down. He can't score. You know, today he scored like 5 points. He played 35 minutes. But as far as him and the team's dreadful. I mean, the game I watched, it was the first game of the season, so I'll cut him some slack, but I mean, the team's, 2-5? They've beaten the Lakers twice, both times without LeBron James. So it's kind of like, we beat the Bulls. Yeah, but Jordan was home. It's like, okay. I was hoping to see him against LeBron James. But
yeah,
what I'm shocked at as well, he had a decent game today, Josh Giddey, but, you know, couple of points and whatever. And points are never his strong suit. And it was kind of an average game. His teammate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, apparently took over. I only watched the last quarter when they came back from 14 down. But even after a so-so game for Giddey, you'd probably say. I saw that Chris Anstey tweeted like, oh, even on a down game, Giddey's up. And I'm not saying Anstey was wrong about that at all. He's totally right. But, gee, I mean, Giddey's too big to fail. Support, if every kid coming through, not just in sports, had that level of support from Andrew Bogut, from Chris Anstey, from Andrew Gaze, from all these people. It's just, and essentially you're talking about the Giddey. These guys are all a friend of his father.
I was going to say, it's the Melbourne Mafia, isn't it?
Man, it's, and I'm not criticizing it either. No. I'm just commending it. Like, this is a friend of their father's who's taking an interest. It's talk about a village raising a kid. Like, Giddey can't fail. And I just wish everyone felt the same level of support just once in their life, because holy shit. Imagine Chris Anstey play great when you had 5 points and 2 of 9 jacking up crap. It was like, holy geez. Imagine if every kid struggling through engineering school or whatever. So that, I'll be honest with you, that sort of stuff has left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth.
where Giddy's just this prodigal son. He's like Harry Potter, you know, his reputation precedes him. It's like, oh, Harry Potter, oh, here he comes. So I don't know, I've watched the games, and the thing is, like, he played 35 minutes today. His stats were okay, but if you play 35 minutes, there's 100 points in every NBA game, and there's 50 rebounds. If you play 35 minutes of 48, have a guess what's going to happen. You're going to get some stats.
Yeah.
But he's shown some flashes. I'm being a bit critical, but it did flap my nose.
I mean, it seems to me that, I mean, they're just getting kilometers into him at this point, aren't they? It's just like, let's just get runs on the board, have him, this season's a write-off anyway, so let's just let him experience the league. Yep.
And meanwhile, everyone's turned their back on Simmons. I'm like, I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, Josh Giddey, he's going to be one of the best 30 players in the NBA. I'm like, he's going to be a good player.
Yep.
Ben Simmons is one of the best 15 players in the NBA today.
Yeah, but we don't like him anymore, haven't you?
This country's just turned their back on him. and I can understand kind of why, but I don't buy into all the – I'm not buying it. Like, Bogut's been very vocal on this one. I'm like, Bogut, you've never been an NBA teammate with him. You're 10 years as senior. Times have changed. Like, I appreciate your input, but – You're not in this guy's circle. I don't know. I found it kind of crass, to be honest.
Yeah. I keep reading the Ben Simmons. Every day I look at my I get my iPad out and I go to the news app because that seems to be the – and I've just got like a Ben Simmons section.
Oh, it's messy, and
I just and like I keep waiting for actual news to break, but every time it's just like parties are concerned and they're talking, but there's no movement on either side. Like, okay. Yeah. So one day something will happen.
We're about 6 or 8 games through the season. It's a bad look, but yeah, I mean, and Oklahoma City. I mean, if you're watching these Giddey games, they're a dreadful team. I mean, they are objectively dreadful to watch. And if you can pick out anything worthwhile, but imagine if you're someone like, say, Bryce Cotton, and you're watching Giddey, and you're like, okay, he's a lot taller than me, and I get that, better passer, so on and so forth, positional size, but you're like, man, I could whip his ass. You'd be so – you just feel pretty gutted by it. And, you know, Cotton's age is off and size is off for the NBA. I get that. But I've always thought if the NBA didn't have a draft and it was just every year, every NBA team doing their best to be the best.
Yeah.
Josh Giddey's not getting 35 minutes, bless his socks. Yep. Not happening. But because you play through the draft and it's a long game and it's 4-year contracts, 7-year contracts, whatever.
Yeah, he's a product of the system, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and as I said, I wish every single person got that kind of support in their profession. Not going to happen.
No.
But Daniel Moldovan's done an amazing job. I think that's all we've got, Andrew.
I think so. Look at that. We did pretty well. We've we've made a show out of that. That's at 47 odd minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty good. Pretty good. We're shaking the rust off. So I had a mate say to me the other day, he said, haven't heard the podcast for a while. What's going on? I said, preseason training. All is good. We're just ramping ourselves up.
There'll be more stuff. We'll come back with the blitzes at a couple of games and whatever else. But lastly, everyone, Body's Book, A Type of Life. Why not buy it? It's going to be $30. That's a cup of coffee in most places. Go ahead and do it. Be fun.
Well, thanks, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. See everyone. Ciao.
Bye.